Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Today we catch up with what's going on at the Sherwin Miller Museum of Jewish Art with curator and director of collections and exhibitions, Karen York. Two exhibits conclude on Sunday, one which features Israeli quilters. Quilting's not a long-lived Jewish craft. In fact, it was immigrating American Jews that brought the tradition to Israel. Yet textile arts and quilting today have emerged as important artistic crafts. The Many Faces of Jerusalem features quilters' depictions of the holy city, its international and multicultural character, and its mix of sacred and secular. Also on display is the work of Leonard Nimoy. In addition to being a beloved actor, he's also a fine art photographer. Leonard Nimoy's Secret Selves is the result of the artist asking subjects to come into his studio and reveal a secret side of their identity or personality or a deeply held dream or wish. Those exhibits close Sunday, but Karen York will also give us a preview of the museum's next exhibit, which opens next weekend, which looks at the shared experiences of American Jews and Native Americans. Karen York is our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Karen York, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. It's a pleasure to have you with us again. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And this is busy times at the Sherwin Miller Museum of Jewish Art. You have two exhibits closing. You have a new exhibit that's coming up, which is a really interesting exhibit, which we'll talk about a little later. But first, let's talk about the two exhibits that have been running, which involve craft and fine art, but two very different visions. Let's first start with The Many Faces of Jerusalem. This is a really interesting exhibit. It's beautiful, beautiful craft work, really artwork in a craft style, obviously quilting. Tell us a little bit about this exhibit.
Well, you're exactly right. They're art quilts, and so they're not your grandmother's quilt. You know, the traditional quilt that we think of with square or rectangular pieces of fabric sewn together, art quilts are something completely different. They're scenic. They use so many different new techniques. There's one that I love that some of the quilters have used, which is a new technique of being able to print a photograph on quilting cotton, and then incorporate that quilted into your piece. So The Many Faces of Jerusalem was originally conceived by the Israel Quilters Association. It was their 20th anniversary in 2012. And so they sent out a call to all their members and asked them to do a quilt that pictured either their hope, their memory of, or their dream for Jerusalem. And so there's this wildly different range of scenes of Jerusalem. Some of my favorites are on the theme, The Many Faces of Jerusalem, images of the different women of different races and religions together.
There's a woman wearing a hijab.
Right, right. An Orthodox woman, a Christian woman.
There's also an Ethiopian Jew or someone from Africa that I'm assuming is Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
It is a beautiful, the eyes are so expressive, especially for the Arabic woman wearing the hijab, because that's all you see. The eyes are open, and the eyes are so expressive in this quilt.
They are, and one of the interesting things about this one is it incorporates some of the things that an art quilter can do much differently, in that the women's earrings are actual earrings attached to the quilt. The quilters in these use dimensional objects. Another favorite of mine, which is even in Holy Jerusalem, dishes are washed. There's a husband standing at a sink.
Yes.
Washing dishes, looking out over the classic view of ancient Jerusalem. And,
with the dome, the mosque on the hill,
yes.
The dome, and the temple wall leading out behind it. Yeah,
yes.
It's a beautiful, beautiful image. Yeah.
Yes, and the fun thing about that is that the apron he's wearing is actually dimensional with the tie on the back, and you know, someone has used some wonderful buttons for the dishwasher buttons, and you know, it's just it's very humorous, beautifully done. Another favorite of mine is the Strata by Shulamit Ron, which, you know, what an imagination this woman took and quilted. It's a topographical view of central Jerusalem. You know, the classic one that you see on the in a maps page, and she's taken and quilted it. It's absolutely amazing.
And it's set against a typical patchwork quilt, though.
Yes. And then she's created the ridges of the topography you know, through dimensional buildup of, and she's added in yarns and beads, and it's a wonderful piece.
It really is. It's quite striking. It's almost, at first glance, you say, this is pure abstract.
And then you read it, you know, a little bit and go, oh, and then all of a sudden you see it. Another favorite of mine is the one called Stones of Witness by Tamar Drucker, simply because from 20 feet away, it looks like somehow she's created the look of the stones of ancient Jerusalem. And when you get very close up, you can see that all of the shading of the stones is tiny, tiny floral fabrics put together.
Oh, interesting.
It's such a surprise.
That is. It has a great texture to it.
It does. Yeah. And to find out that that texture is all tiny floral prints is, like I said, it's such a surprise when you close in on it.
So obviously this is an amazing craft collection. Is this an important craft in Israel, or is it just like it is everywhere else? It's something that a small segment of artists and artisans will do?
Yes, it is a small segment. They have 300 members.
But that's for a small country like Israel. That's a lot.
Well, that's true. That is a big group. They're scattered all over Israel, and apparently they meet monthly. I get the sense they're all good friends. But something I found out when I went to book this exhibit was that I looked at it because quilting isn't a Jewish tradition.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I found
this,
a little...
How did this get going?
They learned it when they came to America.
Okay.
So... Eastern European Jews raised geese, so they made comforters. But
right.
When they immigrated to America at the turn of the century, they learned to quilt.
Quilting was a great craft, an
and
important
then
craft.
Took it with them to Israel when they immigrated at statehood.
Interesting.
And so quilting has only been taught in Israel since the late 70s.
Hmm.
And they're just going gangbusters.
Well, this is an amazing show. The Many Faces of Jerusalem. This is your last chance to see it this week as it closes over the weekend. And my guest today is Karen York, the curator of the Sherwin Miller Museum of Jewish Art. Two exhibits currently on display in addition to the Many Faces of Jerusalem. You have an exhibit that's going to appeal to two different types of people, people who love fine art photography and those that love Star Trek, because the artist is Leonard Nimoy. Now, Leonard Nimoy has always struck me as this very interesting artist because not only is, you know, he does stage direction. I know he's done a little bit of writing for stage, you know, obviously a stage actor and screen actor, but he's also a photographer.
I know. Creative minds can do so many different things, can't they?
Yeah.
He talked about, as a child, he learned photography and always loved it. And in an interview researching the show, I read that the second season of Star Trek, he was millimeters away from quitting, going back to school, and becoming a professional photographer. But he decided that the rote work of photography, the product photography, the wedding photos, just weren't for him. So he stayed with acting and went back to school and continued to pursue his photography. But 10 or 15 years ago, he says, he decided that he would slow down his acting and begin to concentrate more on showing his photography. And so when I discovered this show, I talked with his gallerist, Rich Michelson, in Massachusetts. And we put together a show that would fit our space because there were a great number of photographs from this exhibit. The idea around this, it's called Secret Selves, and his idea came from a theory that Aristophanes posted in 400 BC, that in prehistoric times, humans were double-sided creatures, two heads, four arms, four legs. They became very powerful and arrogant, and they angered the gods. So Zeus was supposed to solve this problem, and he did it by cutting humans in two with his sword, and since then, the theory goes, humans have been searching for their other halves, the lost halves, which I'd heard but not that much background on it. So he wanted to explore the concept of hidden selves, saying that he himself had an identity problem since he had spent his entire life, you know, identified
as Mr. Spock.
Mr. Spock. So what he did was he sent out a call in the Boston area and asked just ordinary Joe, to come in and dress as or somehow convey for the camera the self they kept hidden from the public. So he had a psychoanalyst who brought a chainsaw. He had a man come dressed in literally in mud and leaves who wanted to be an avatar of the earth. He had a naval officer who came wearing his baby blanket, which was a Superman cape, which he takes everywhere with him. Two priests or preachers who wanted to show their dark sides, their I want to be a motorcycle gang leader sides that they could never show in public with their, you know, parishioners. And so we borrowed 16 photographs, 8 of which are life size. They're huge. And I got a surprise with one of them. There was a woman named Tammy dressed in a very dance hall girl kind of an outfit who said she wanted to release her inner Rita Hayworth. That was her. She wanted to dance. When I got the life size photograph, I saw the hair on Tammy's chin and realized Tammy was a guy. But you couldn't see that in the digital photographs. And I just laughed and went, well, look at you, Tammy. But they're wonderful images and make much more sense if you know the story behind the
now,
project.
Does he explain the story in the legends next to it? The text panel. Yeah.
Yes.
So the viewer's not left to interpret this themselves.
No, if they're willing to read a little bit, they can get the whole story. And each text panel tells what the subject meant to reveal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's there's one who is a junior league president and she's wearing boxing gloves.
Mm.
And there's one man who wants to be a mad scientist in another life. And so, you know, each one is explained.
Give us a sense of his technique. Is it just a typical portrait or is there something special about
it? It is a typical portrait. And I think really what was special was what went on in the session, that his skill in directing came out here and that he was able to make people comfortable enough to be willing to reveal these selves.
Right. Yeah.
So more I think what
so
he
the
got
poses,
the subjects
the poses
to do.
That he captures are what are really interesting about this.
The poses and the characters that people are willing to reveal,
yeah,
you know, to the public.
Well, that is called Leonard Nimoy, Secret Selves. Both that exhibit and the Many Faces of Jerusalem closed this weekend at the Sherwin-Miller Museum. Your last chance to see it. And my guest today is Karen York, the curator of the Sherwin-Miller Museum of Jewish Art. But she's already working on her next exhibit, which will open in just a couple of weeks. And this is kind of nice. This is something you've been working on as far as curating and putting together the show. And it's a really interesting concept which explores the similarities. And first of all, the first one that comes to mind is diaspora, between, in this case, Native American people and specifically Southeastern Native Americans, like Cherokees, like Choctaw, like Creek, who went on the Trail of Tears and were forcibly removed from their lands, and the Jewish people. Give us a sense of how this exhibit started to come together.
I think it's because I'm an Oklahoma girl, right?
Right.
I'm a voting Chickasaw.
Uh-huh.
I grew up here, and so I know our history and you know the background. And I've been sitting in the Jewish Museum for 8 years, which is of course a part of the Jewish Federation, the Jewish Day School, the Jewish Retirement Center. It's Jewish Central. So I've been living with the Jews for 8 years. And I think it finally struck me how tribally they behave. You know, if you look at the broadest sense of, you know, they love to do things in groups. They support each other.
Tremendously.
Tremendously.
Yeah.
The elders wander through the museum and come visit every day. And we ask them advice. Everyone's involved, from the smallest to the eldest. You know, they govern themselves they're centrally located in the Federation. You know, they have their own schools. They're
right.
In many ways
they're keeping their culture alive.
They keep their culture alive and they work very hard at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at this and it struck me how many similarities there were. And so I brought this up to my boss Drew Diamond and he, you know, tilted his head and said, "You know, that's an interesting idea." And so we called Donna Tenen and Troy Jackson. who are both involved with the Spider Gallery and with the Southeast Indian Arts Association, and said, let's meet. We have something we want to visit with you about. And we laid this out, and Troy got so excited. He said, I love a challenge. This will really make us think out of the box. And so then we brought in a group of artists from the Southeast Indian Arts Association and just roundtable talked about it. And by the time we were done, we really had the concept of this exhibit, which was not only to touch on, was to touch on the experience, but also the shared behaviors. Keeping tradition alive turned out to be one of the broadest and easiest to represent. So the show really has gelled into two major themes, which is keeping traditions alive and eradicating the other, which has to do with forced migration and assimilation of both peoples throughout history. Mm. And this was in the spring, so over the summer and through the fall, pieces were discussed and worked on, and, you know, I found, you know, correct Hebrew prayers and explained things for people like Bobby Martin, who used the Shema in his piece, for Shan Gosshorn, who, Shan weaves baskets from paper that she's printed images and words on.
Right.
So for Shan, it was some Hebrew prayers, the definition of genocide printed on, along with pictures from our archive of Holocaust victims. And of course, she prints these all, trims the papers into splints.
Turns them into
little strips.
And
weaves
strips.
Them into baskets, into a basket. And
they're
so,
really impressive pieces. They've been shown, she's shown some of her work before. And so,
yes.
So she's taking these themes and creating a new piece.
Yes, yes. That has to do with the Holocaust and diaspora.
And what's really interesting, these are all new pieces created specifically for this show. Then.
They are. And with some, because we had a little bit of a time crunch, and these are some busy artists. They are busy showing all over the country. And so with some, we were able to find a correlation in work that they had available. For example, Scott Roberts and a couple of other potters, Jane Austey, had traditional Cherokee pottery works. And so we talked about traditional pottery, Jews having a pottery tradition that was created in the same way, the same coil-built, pit-fired, ancient production method. And the interesting thing is that the Cherokee have, of course, revived that tradition in the last 30 years. And so I looked at him and I said, so you brought back and are keeping this tradition alive. How does that not correlate with
everything
the Jews are doing now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, they said, okay. So in that way, we were able to put together a show that is very diverse and very interesting, mixing traditional and very modern works.
Now, it sounds like as you're getting into this the sort of thematic element, the artists are going to have having to work through a process. Do you anticipate your audience will have to do that same sort of work through the process?
I've tried
Or do you think it will be very self-evident from the work?
Well, what I'm doing, and actually I'm not done. I'm going to go back today and do more of this. Each artist, we've worked together to write a couple of paragraphs about the piece and how it relates. And so each artist will have an extended label, a photo of the artist, a bio, and a couple of paragraphs about, you know, the conclusions we came to and the relationships we found in the piece between the two peoples. And so I think that will help our audiences understand much better what our correlations are and what the themes of the exhibit are.
That's Ancient Ways, Modern Forms, an Exploration of Related Experience in Native American and Jewish Cultures by Oklahoma Native Artists, which will be opening in a couple of weeks at the Sherwin Miller Museum of Jewish Art. Yes.
It opens on the 5th.
On the 5th.
Actually, so next Thursday.
Right. And Karen York is my guest today as we talk about the goings-on of the Sherwin Miller Museum, which has two exhibits closing this weekend and then the new exhibit opening next week. But before we do that, I want to talk about some of those thematic elements because, I mean, there's a lot of material that an artist could use. The first area, keeping traditions alive, everything from language, which both cultures are very much involved in keeping as a part of their tradition. The diaspora, Did you have artists that tackled each of these elements or other elements that seem to have a commonality between the cultures?
Oh, I did. In fact, I'm looking at Karen Cootie Cooper's wampum belt that she created last year but fit perfectly this exhibit entitled The Trail of Tears. And it is an image of the Cherokee walking in a single file line woven into a traditional wampum belt. And so many artists tackled both the theme of the diaspora. We have some that
when you look at that wampum belt, especially in the context of the Sherwin-Miller, it's going to have a completely different context, because if you've come from the Holocaust section.
Yes.
Or if you take that aside, just the fact that Jews many times in their lives were forced out of their communities from pogroms in Russia and Eastern Europe.
From 200 AD, when the Romans kicked them out of Jerusalem, they lost their homeland.
Right.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
And then they started to move to Egypt and then to Spain, where they were evicted, and then to England,
1400s, yeah.
Where they were evicted in 1200, and then to France, where they were evicted. Slowly, the entire world pushed them towards Poland and Eastern Russia. And then they were evicted from those areas around the turn of the century. And those who were left became the victims of the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. And so their history is nothing but a repetition of that.
Yeah. So seeing that wampum belt, mm-hmm, with this line of individuals walking down the Trail of Tears, it's going to have a different effect, and really a powerful effect in this setting. It'll be interesting to see how the work interacts with your space, given the other exhibits that are part of the museum.
I agree. And a comment was made, and I don't remember who made it, a couple of days ago when they came into my exhibit space, my prep space, and saw everything and said, "This doesn't look like any other Indian art show I've seen recently." And I said, "That's because we've chosen things that make correlations rather than choosing all contemporary or all traditional." And so it is going to be a very different exhibit.
Will there be traditional pieces there?
Absolutely.
Give us an example.
But like I said earlier, Jane Austey's turtle. Lisa Rutherford did a beautiful Cherokee beaded bag, which she called the White Path. But she talks about Cherokee identity with it and following the White Path, which means to live right and do good, and then there you go with the 613 mitzvot that the Jewish people follow. And it's just not hard, is it, to find a correlation. So there are many traditional pieces like that.
Now, the other side of the exhibit is Eradicating the Other. Give us an example of a piece that sort of depicts that.
I'm looking at a great one, Jeff Edwards, who is involved with the reviving the Cherokee language with the Cherokee Nation, has done some graphic pieces where he creates an image of that's made up of Cherokee letters and words. And this image is called He Lied, and it's Andrew Jackson on the background of the American flag. Couldn't be better.
For those who know their history, the Cherokees won a victory in the Supreme Court during the Andrew Jackson presidency, which prevented them from being forcibly removed. I think Jackson famously said, I'm paraphrasing now, let the Supreme Court enforce their decision. And, of course, he removed the Cherokees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jeff sent me a number of thumbnails of his work, and when I saw that, I laughed out loud and called him and said, I have to have this. This is perfect.
Yeah.
Some other ones that are perhaps a little less obvious but deal with assimilation are Jay Benham, who's a Kiowa painter and works for Crystal Bridges over in Arkansas, mm-hmm, has sent two paintings, one which is titled Refrigerator Repair School Dropouts. Good sense of humor.
Right.
And
what does it depict?
It depicts young men playing in a pool hall because they don't have jobs and they've dropped out of school. Because why? Because they were taken, their culture was taken away from them, out of context, and they were given the choice of trying to learn, you know, a trade and assimilate into the mainstream, and they failed.
Yeah.
So, there are a number of different things that fit the themes that are traditional, that are contemporary. It's a great range of work.
Well, we look forward to it. And I know this has been a great deal of effort in getting this together and sort of getting buy-in from these groups. Was there any resistance at the beginning, or were they really open to the idea once it was explained or from the get-go?
I think what there was in the beginning was confusion. and so I had to step back myself and stop and really think about what I was looking for, how the correlations could be made. And then I went back to everybody and in individual conversations, I said, you know, it's awfully easy to get confused when you just read something. So I called everyone. Mm-hmm. And we visited about it and talked about different pieces and different relationships. And by the time I was done with that, everybody was on board.
As the artists worked through the process, was it a rewarding process for them to see these connections?
Yes, it really was. There were some artists who were very surprised that we could make a connection so easily. And I think they all enjoyed working through the process. And I enjoyed getting to know them a little better.
Well, what's going to be really interesting is when this exhibit opens and seeing these two cultures interrelate.
True. It will be.
Are you going to do some special programming involved with that?
We are. We're working on planning that. We hope to bring the artists in for a gallery talk. And, you know, we're working on any other programming concepts that we could do.
All right. That's Ancient Ways, Modern Forms, an exploration of the related experience in Native American and Jewish cultures by Oklahoma Native artists. It's curated by my guest today, Karen York, who's curator of the Sherwin Miller Museum of Jewish Art. Two exhibits closing at the end of this week. Give us what are gallery hours? Because I know you're closed on
Saturday.
Right.
We're not allowed to open on Saturday for religious reasons. Yeah. So come today, 10 to 5, tomorrow 10 to 5, Sunday is 1 to 5.
All right. Well, for more information, you can visit them online. Karen York, thanks very much. Thanks for being here. Karen York is the Director of Collections and Exhibitions at the Sherwin Miller Museum of Jewish Art. Two exhibits close this weekend at the museum: The Many Faces of Jerusalem, an exhibition of Israeli quilting, and Leonard Nimoy's Secret Selves. Ancient Ways, Modern Forms, featuring the relationship between Jewish and Native American culture, opens next weekend. For more information on the Sherwin Miller Museum of Jewish Art, visit jewishmuseum.net. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.
The University of Tulsa welcomes the Greater Tulsa community to a wide array of athletic events, artistic performances, exhibitions, academic lectures, and symposia held on campus. Our public events are open to all. Requests for accommodation of disabilities may be directed to Dr. Tawny Taylor at 918-631-2315. To ensure availability of an interpreter, 5 to 7 days' notice is needed. 48 hours is recommended for all other accommodations.